Welcome everyone. You're listening to The Heart of a Volunteer. My name is Keshav Pillai, your host for this podcast. This podcast is all about understanding difficult emotions. Welcome to the podcast. Today, in this episode, we're looking to deconstruct anxiety. I'm going to answer some questions relating to anxiety and working with anxiety. I'll try to give the audience some simple exercises to improve their skills to understand anxiety and work with it. You might have heard the statement, we're living in interesting times. Looking at what's going around, I would say we are living in anxious times.
What is anxiety?
We'll start with a clinical definition. So according to the American Psychiatric Association, fear is a response to imminent threat, whereas anxiety is an anticipation of a future threat. We like to adapt the view that we anticipate things in the future. We all like to predict things. But when we anticipate future threats, we are experiencing it as if it is internally happening in the now. So what is anxiety? To understand anxiety, I would ask myself, what is the word anxiety actually mean? To understand anxiety, I got to understand the meaning of the word anxiety. So the word anxiety is derived from the Latin word anxietas, which means anguish. So it captures the feeling of your heart wriggling and contracting. Okay, so that's the actual meaning of it's derived from that word. But that's not how we see it. Anxiety has different connotations. So I'm going to give you some different synonyms to make us understand what anxiety is. So anxiety has many synonyms: fear, worry, tension, unease, restlessness, distress, concern, nervousness. And all these words encompasses a simple idea that we are suffering. We are not at ease. On the other hand of the word anxiety has antonyms. So once we are anxious, we want to move to this state. We want certainty. We want serenity. We want assurance, calmness, contentment, peacefulness. We need to be strong. There should be a level of composure and there should be a confidence. So if you understand the word anxiety, if I put it in a simple way, it's on a spectrum. On one end, there is fear, tension, worry, and all that. And on the other hand, we got certainty, serenity, strength, composure, all that. So we're always moving in this spectrum. So it's not a fixed state of mind. Now, when you're anxious, a state of anxiety causes you to be wanting to go on to the other side of it. You want certainty. You want assurance. You want confidence. So the very wanting creates this anxiety in you. Whereas if you want to work with anxiety, you actually have to face it head on. But anxiety is a very, very common mental disorder. One in three women have some form of anxiety, and one in five men have anxieties. Women are more likely to develop anxiety than men. We don't know why, but it impacts their daily life. Now, there is kind of a taboo to talk about anxiety. Men and women both feel that we should not be talking about it. But everyone feels anxious now and then. There's nothing wrong in it. It is there for a reason. It's not bad at all. It actually allows you to take stock of our actions and life situations. It's a major component of our daily life. The problem arises when anxiety overwhelms and blocks us. Our brain juices up with the stress hormone called cortisol to reduce the threat, and that leaves us feeling drained and depleted. So to put a sentence to explain what anxiety is not a state of mind which is fixed. It's an anticipation of a future threat which the brain and the body experiences it in the present moment.
Now, how do we experience anxiety physically and mentally?
So it's interrelated at three levels. It's related at the physiological level, it is related in this cognitive level, as well as the behavior level. So anxiety at the physiological level can be experienced as a sensation in the body, a racing heart, a shallow breath, lightheartedness, sweaty hands, restlessness, fatigue, trembling, muscle tension, lump in the throat, headaches, and backaches. So all these are body symptoms. And also, there is a technical term called somatic, which your body experiences. The body has a memory of a past event, and it keeps replaying it. So at a physiological level, these are the symptoms. At the cognitive level, you may feel a little embarrassed. You might start clearing your throat. You will have difficult times in the conversation. You may sound fidgety. You will have worried thoughts of the future. You will imagine disasters of all sorts, thinking about ways to avoid them. And one important thing that comes up is the inner critic. It keeps telling you that thought about inner critic criticizing about you and your behavior has a role in the cognitive part. On the behavior part, it works at two levels. One is an avoidant behavior. One is a controlling part of it, the opposite of it. On the avoiding side, people will avoid situations or events that brings that unpleasant psychological reaction, physiological reaction. So when we are anxious, we wind up our lives, we close ourselves, we limit ourselves. On the other side, we control things, we control people, we control events, we control our lives, we control every reaction that should not let us repeat any of the physiological reaction. So the controlling part, you end up doing what is predictable. So what does that do? Your resilience is not there to handle the change. So it limits your life. So those are the three levels in which anxiety plays out in a person's life.
Now, what are the myths and realities that surround anxiety?
Okay, I'll probably list the five most prominent myths, okay? So one of the prominent myths is if a panic attack gets too bad, you're likely to pass out or lose control. Okay. Now, the reality is it's very unlikely that you will faint, which is caused by a sudden drop by a blood pressure. During a panic attack, your blood pressure, it doesn't fall, it actually rises slightly. So panic attack, do not think that you're going to pass out. You actually, your blood pressure is quite high. There is another myth. If you have an anxiety disorder, it's important to avoid stress and stressful situation that makes you feel stressed. So avoidance is a myth. Treating anxiety, you actually have to face anxiety head on. And there are ways and techniques to do it in a safer, in a more conducive environment, and where you feel safe and there are techniques to work with it. Now, medications for anxiety are addictive? Actually not. There are prescriptions. It's only the prescription, your body has increased tolerance and the dependence after long-term use. So you're not addicted to it. Your body, as normal, would have a resilience to it, and you have to take it for a longer time. Medication is the only form of treatment for anxiety disorders. Medication is one of the treatment. There are the cognitive behavior therapies, there is mindfulness training, there's process-oriented approach to work with anxiety. And the last one I would say is compassionate reassurance from family and friends reduces anxiety. Yes, it helps. It creates a certain level of comfort, but one has to work with the anxiety head on to have to learn to cope with it. So those are your common myths and realities of anxiety. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you hear, please keep visiting our website at www.binc.org.au/heartofavolunteerpodcast for all our episodes. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Coming from that, what are some mindfulness practices to work with anxiety?
Okay, so I'm going to list three mindfulness techniques. Okay, I'm going to start with something very simple and then build our skills up. So I'm going to take a simple exercise, which many of people connect with this. Simple idea. This might sound strange when people are doing it, but it's a small, easy technique. You would have seen people singing and chanting as in religious ceremonies and all that. They have a role in working, in helping you regulate your anxiety. Certain Tibetan chants have been used successfully for thousands of years. Okay. And some psychologists have worked and modified these chants. And it is simple as the word wu. So the way it should is it creates a vibration which stimulates in your belly. And it creates you to be grounded in terms of your breath and centers you into the moment. Now, how does it work? It sounds like, now how does it work? You find a comfortable place, slowly inhale, pause momentarily, and then on the out-breath, gently utter the word wu, sustaining the sound through the entire exhalation. Now, I'll do it. I'm finding myself a comfortable position. I have a deep breath. And on the exhale, the whole idea is it creates a resonance, it grounds you into the now. And your gut and your breath, everything lines up into the moment, and you're breathing down your throat, breathing out your gut, everything lines up. So the whole idea is trying to center yourself, not get caught up in the narration. So the whole idea is that. And it creates a sensation, as studies have found, creates a sensation of calmness. Okay, and that's the body feels it is in a safe zone, which is not in a panic mode. There's another technique, and it is derived from a Japanese energy flow technique, and it's called Jinsen Jutsu. Okay. Now, it looks strange. It looks like a cross arm standing like Superman, but actually is not. You take your right hand and put it under your left armpit. Take your left hand and put it over your right shoulder. Now, this exercise can be done anywhere. This allows you to breathe. And the whole point of this exercise is to breathe and become aware of the breath. Now, this exercise has been used as a form of reassurance to your body that everything is okay. So that's one way of centering yourself. So again, I'll repeat this. You take your right hand, put it under your left armpit, and your left hand on top of your right shoulder, as if you're hugging yourself. And become aware of the breath. Do this for 2 to 10 minutes, and you see the difference. Now, most of us have a smartwatch. It would be a good idea when you have anxious thoughts, check your heart rate. And try this technique. Hold yourself, become aware of it for 10 minutes and give yourself, check your heart rate again. With enough practice, your heart rate should come down. When your heart rate comes down, the body has realigned and centered and is in a safe place. Now, the third technique has an awareness paradigm. It's a little tricky and it requires a bit of work and it requires you to meditate on these things. I'm not asking you to meditate cross-legged. It's about being aware of it. Now, I'll rephrase my first. When we started up learning about anxiety, we said it's a narration. It's a thing predicting the future, looking into the future, and causing ourselves being anxious. So we have this narration going. Now, the first step to do is put yourself have a little gap between you and the thought. Become aware that you are not your thought. So how do you become aware? You're anxious. See yourself witnessing this thought process. See this thought process of this creation of anxiety, this narration. Now, once you become aware of it, you ask yourself, is this true? And most of the time, the answer will be yes. But remember, this reaction is also a thought-generated thing. It's on autopilot because it's in a panic mode. And become aware that there is this belief system that I'm following for predicting this narration, this making this narration true. If it is absolutely true, if you're convinced that you're absolutely true, I would always ask people to see, can I see this thought in another way? Can I have a different perception of this thought? And most of the time, yes, we can see this thing, see the situation in a different way. And the second thing you can do is this absolutely accurate? Is this true? Is it absolutely going to happen? And the answer arrives, maybe, maybe not. And that's all we need to know. I need to create a doubt in my thought process that what I am thinking and what I am believing is not absolutely true. Now, the next part of it is becoming aware of your body. And if you pay attention to the past two exercises, they were techniques to center you. So we are using thought process to get rid of this repetitive inner critic, predicting, narrating part of the future. And now we're coming to the third phase of you becoming aware of the sensations in the body without any judgment, without any question. Here is the awareness paradigm. You actually have to become aware, oh, there is this sensation without the storyline, without the narration. This is anger. This is sadness. This is jealousy. This is hurt. Now, the last part is, can I imagine me not holding on to this thought process? What are the possible benefits to your relationship, to your energy level, to your motivation, if I don't hold on to it? Moment I doubt it, I don't have to hold on to it. If I believe it, you have no choice. You're holding on to it. So the whole mindfulness practice is about questioning your thought, questioning your narration, and become aware of the sensation without any judgment. And then finally, seeing the possible benefits if I let go of this thought process. So those are some of the three, I've probably listed, the three mindful techniques that one can apply to work with anxiety.
Does everybody experience a form of anxiety?
Everybody does, some form. Sometimes, as mentioned earlier, there is a level of anxiety that people can handle. But moment it starts impacting your daily life and it's hard to cope with the normal challenges, then you have a severe problem and we call it as anxiety disorder. So most of us will probably fall in a generalized anxiety disorder. But there are aggravated forms of social phobias, obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder. Some people have separation disorder, post-traumatic disorders. So these are extreme forms of anxiety, which requires clinical interventions. But the common forms, signs of anxiety can be easily managed. And it does not have to impact your daily existence.
Last question.
Yeah.
Now, if you are sitting across the table from somebody who is experiencing a deep emotional anxiety, what kind of wisdom could you pass on for someone to help them?
So this probably would connect to every person who's listening to this podcast. We all have loved ones or people we care experiencing this. When we see somebody who is anxious and having a panic attack or some form, how do I approach it? The first form is being compassionate. Make sure the person feels safe. And the whole point is, if you're caring and being present is the key part to regulate the person's anxiety. Now, the next step I would do is I would not ask them to relate the narration. Reliving the narration causes the heart rate to go up, the blood pressure to shoot up. They're reliving the experience that causes the anxiety. So the whole point is trying to get them out of the narration, make them feel safe and compassionate towards them. Simple techniques like make them touch, become aware of their feet, make them grounded, bring them back to their body. Simple technique. How does your body feel? What are you feeling now? Are you feeling, can you breathe? Can I see you? Can you wiggle your toes? Can you feel grounded? I can give you a simple example. I had my neighbor whose son had a minor heart attack and he was rushed to the hospital. He drove his mom to the hospital. And I could see her being anxious, very not sure. There was an uncertainty. There was a panic. And while we were waiting, she kept reliving, he shouldn't have done this. She kept talking about his health and all that. And I had to take a mind off her narration. All I said, oh, you got some good shoes. Did you buy that lately? And she just looked at me strangely because what was I doing? And I said, oh, can you touch? How does the feet feel in your shoes? Do they feel soft, nice? And she said, yeah, they're really comfortable and that's that. And I said, oh, good, nice to see that. And I could take a mind off. I'm not trying to divert it. I just said, can you feel your feet soft and calm? And I was trying to, and then I tried to get her to become aware of her breath. Can you breathe into your feet? Can you feel the ground now? And that calmed her down. So those are simple things that one can do to their loved ones or people we care about to calm, to work with anxiety, not to control it. We cannot control anxiety. Anxiety is part of our lives. We can only live with it, work with it. Well, that's all for today's episode of Heart of a Volunteer. Thanks for listening. Dear listeners, you can find more information on other difficult emotions on our website, www.benc.org.au/heartofavolunteerpodcast. Be safe and enjoy the journey we call life. I will leave you with something to think about, so ponder on this. Don't look for peace, don't look for any other state than the one you are in now. Otherwise, you will set up an inner conflict and unconscious resistance. Forgive yourself for not being at peace. The moment you completely accept your non-peace becomes transmuted into peace. This is a miracle of surrender. Eckhart Tolle.